Hi, my name is Glenn Davis, and I'm the campus pastor of Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship here at Stanford University. Welcome to the farm. I'm going to make two assumptions about you before I go any further. The first is that you're a Christian, and let me define that term because it means different things to different people. When I say Christian, I don't simply mean that you go to church or engage in some sort of religious activities on a regular basis. That's important, and I don't mean to disparage it, but it's been fairly said that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to your garage makes you a car. It's about something much more substantial than that. And what I mean when I use the term Christian is simply this, that you have freely chosen to follow Jesus, that you have made him your leader and your forgiver and placed your trust in him, so that you seek to emulate him in thought, word, and deed, and to, as much as possible, bring about his purposes on the earth and live your life to his glory. The second assumption I'm going to make is that you're coming to Stanford. Those two things together are a very wonderful and potentially challenging combination. I don't know about you specifically, but most freshmen that I talk to feel a bit of apprehension about what's going to happen to their faith while they're here at Stanford. Well, I'm here to tell you that generations of students testify you can thrive spiritually at Stanford if you hold fast to a few simple principles. And I would like to share with you three principles from the book of Daniel that many, many students have found helpful in their own journeys of faith with Jesus. The first principle is this. If you happen to have a Bible handy, I encourage you, just flip it open to Daniel chapter 1, skim along as I'm talking to you, and you'll see where I'm headed with this, and you probably will find a few more principles in there. I'm going to keep this very, very short. The first thing that strikes me about the book of Daniel is how akin Daniel's experience is to the experiences of students at universities all across America, and even here at Stanford. You see, he was about your age, and he went off, forcibly I might add, to undergo a 3-year pre-programmed course of studies emphasizing the liberal arts and humanities, designed to prepare he and his friends for careers of governmental service. And indeed, we see that the education he received was so helpful that he ultimately went on to become the second most influential person in the entire kingdom. So this was a pretty heavy-duty learning experience that Daniel was undergoing. The first thing that I notice about the experiences that he and his friends had that were helpful to them is that they went in with a resolve that they would not defile themselves. It says that they were given a chance to eat the king's food, which was no doubt very, very tasty and far superior to any other alternatives that were before them. But they realized that to eat the king's food was to compromise their faith. It was to disobey the Jewish dietary laws. And so they chose, at great personal risk, I might add, they chose to seek a way to avoid defiling themselves. And so they went and they did this masterful bit of negotiation and then found a way to honor God and honor the authorities that were over them. They resolved not to defile themselves. Will you resolve not to defile yourself here at Stanford? There are two main areas in which I see defilement entering students' lives on a regular basis: sex and substances. You're going to have many opportunities to fool around physically with people, and also many opportunities to smoke, inject, inhale, drink, do all sorts of stuff here at Stanford with substances, both legal and illegal. I challenge you, resolve from the outset you will not defile yourself, that you will protect your purity, and you will honor God with your conduct. The second principle that I see from Daniel and his friends' lives is that they hit the books hard. They excelled at their studies. Down there towards the end of the chapter, it says, when they were brought before the king, he examined them. How's that for an oral exam? Grilled by the king himself. Brought in front of the king, he examined them, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Think about that. I don't know what you know about Babylonian literature. Odds are not too much. I've had to read some. And I got to tell you, it's probably not what you're thinking. You're thinking maybe Shakespeare, The Great Gatsby, something like that. No, couldn't be further from the truth. Babylonian literature is all religious mythology, mostly religious mythology. It's about their gods and their exploits, and it's pagan myth. It's falsehood. Daniel and his friends mastered false materials because that's what was put before them to do, and they did it with all their heart as unto the Lord. And as a result, even though they didn't believe hardly any of it, except for the solid moral principles that sort of transcend cultures that they got from these wisdom stories, even though they rejected most of it, they nonetheless mastered it and were able to articulate that persuasively in an understandable way to a firm believer of these myths, the king himself. And in fact, they believed it better than they explained it better than the experts who claimed to believe it themselves. My prayer for you here at Stanford is simply this, that whatever your major, whether it be sociology or physics or anthropology or math, you're going to learn things that are both true and untrue, both in your classes and in your conversations with your friends and your professors. Cling to the good, reject the bad, but understand it all. Never reject without understanding. Never accept without understanding. Seek to understand and then to be understood. In so doing, you will win a tremendous platform for the Christian faith. And so I beg of you, master your materials. The third principle that I note from Daniel and his friends' lives is simply this. Daniel was with friends. Daniel was not alone. Shadrach was not alone. Meshach was not Abednego was not alone. They were all together. And that's significant because we need one another. Many students, when they come to Stanford, are tempted to try to coast spiritually and do it on their own. Excuses are ready at hand. Oh, I've got tests to cram for. I can't go to the fellowship meeting on campus in the middle of the week. Oh, I studied so hard last night. I can't get to church this Sunday morning. Oh, I'm a freshman. I don't have a car. I can't get to church because no one will give me a ride. Excuses, excuses, excuses abound. Resolve to find Christian community. If it is important to you, you will find a way to make it happen. In fact, it is very, very easy. There are several vibrant Christian communities on campus. There's one that I lead, Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m., building 300-300. We would be deeply honored if you would come and visit us and perhaps consider becoming part of our community. If we're not your cup of tea, there's InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, there's Mosaic, there's Asian Baptist Student Koinonia, there's all these groups. And we all work together alongside one another in a good relationship and have a great time together, and the leaders get together and pray and share with one another. There's a wonderful spirit of Christian unity on this campus. There are also outstanding churches in the community. There's a Highway community, which meets across the street from campus. Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, just a few blocks from campus. And many, many more. There's an excellent list on our website, xastanford.org. Lists the most popular churches with students and their proximity to campus, and gives a link to their website. I encourage you to check it out. Three basic principles that I have for you, three challenges. Will you resolve not to defile yourself? Will you seek to master your materials, even when they are false? And third, will you seek Christian community? Christians were made to live together. Our very own Lord and Master said, "They'll know you follow me by the love you show for one another." Hard to show love to someone who's not there. Christians were made for community, and Satan feeds off strays. Don't let it happen to you. If you do these three things, your next few years at Stanford will be like a spiritual boot camp. And you will emerge forged from the fire and ready to be used of God in whatever position of our society or whatever society you're from He calls you to. Please do look me up while you're here on campus. You can get all my contact information on our website, xastanford.org. You can call me on my cell phone, 650-380-0896. I look forward to hearing from you, and I can't wait to see you when you arrive on campus. Hope you have a great day, and God bless.